The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. Great to have everyone here on this Wednesday afternoon. The football season is arriving, and our next guest knows all about playing in the SEC, Ramon Foster, VFL, and, of course, former Steelers as well. Now a talk show host in Nashville, and he's not going to have to buy too many beers down on Broadway tonight. He picked Tennessee to go 8-2. I can't wait to find out more about this. Ramon, thank you for joining us. Great to have you on the show.
I appreciate it. I'm definitely a fan of yours, man, so it's an honor for me to come on your show.
Well, we have a couple of things in common. We do talk shows, and we went to Tennessee. Other than that, your career and credentials are far more memorable, but it's great to have you on. And I'm going to try to be a talk show host here, not a fan, but please tell the world about this 8-2 prediction.
So I just want to clear, so when I said that, I honestly said that with a lot of conviction and believing in that. So I wasn't trying to make a hot take. I wasn't being a fan. That's just how I feel about this team in general, man. They've done a lot of good things. And having a sense of stability with Coach Chaney and having a senior quarterback in JG, right now up front, their offensive line is very strong. The running back is very strong. Yes, they do have a bunch of young guys at receiver, but they also have a lot of high pedigree guys. And I'm a guy who's a firm believer that new stars are born every year. And right now with the way this COVID situation is shaking up with everybody being able to practice, not being able to practice, I just think it lands for a more even playing field. I think Tennessee has a lot of guys right now that are buying into what Coach Pruitt is teaching them right now. So I sincerely mean the two games that really is going to be a high question mark is always the Alabama game. Tennessee's one of the only schools that played them every single year. But according to last year, they had a really good shot of being able to beat them. And now also you got to look at Auburn. Auburn's a tough place to play at, but if you look at everybody else on the schedule, is there anybody that really blows you away to say, hey, this is impossible, especially with the mindset of it being no fans in the stands? And I say that in the sense that I think the reason you see a bunch of teams being able to have a level playing field in the NFL right now is that momentum that defenses get, that momentum that, you know, an offense is able to get by having a crowd behind you, I think it's kind of even right now. We've seen the Jacksonville team in the NFL that's been playing teams very, very close when it was supposed to be a tank season for those guys. And you know, like I know, the way SEC crowds and stadiums are set up, where fan bases just, they will take a team out, snap count, just intimidation factor of going into Death Valley or going to Alabama or between the hedges somewhere. That's just where I see this team projected in my personal opinion of what it's going to take to get 8 wins, though.
Ramon, let's talk about this team as you see it, because schedules right now are interesting, and you know, Saturday it all changes, as you know better than most of us. What's the strength of this Tennessee team, in your opinion?
I think it's easy. It's this offensive line. And right now this Tennessee offensive line is better, and it'd be way better if we get clearance of Cade Mays. We're not sure how that's going to turn out, but even still, we have experience. We have a high pedigree of players in that position. And in years past, especially before Coach Pruitt got in, Tennessee didn't have a bunch of big bodies. They had a bunch of guys that were more athletic than they were movers. And when you're playing in the SEC, the run game is huge. Being able to control the line of scrimmage, whether you're keeping your quarterback upright or whether you're able to pound it when you need to pound the ball down the field, that's something that can't be taken for granted. And right now you have a senior quarterback and Jared Garantano, who has an offensive coordinator that's trusting him more. And JG is starting to trust himself more, considering the fact that he doesn't have to change offenses and scrap a whole new playbook. So I think you asked for the most important position of strength. I think it's the offensive line. And right behind that is JG, a guy who I think is poised to have a really good year this year with a little bit of stability behind him.
Ramon, It's a different year, as you mentioned. Nobody can quite figure out what's going to happen. But your prediction is interesting. But Saturday is, I think, the toughest game to predict in the SEC schedule. It's really the closest game on the Vegas line. Let's look at this game for a second. You have a South Carolina team that really didn't show anyone anything last year. And now here Tennessee has to open the season, a coach who needs the win desperately. Assess this game for us as best anybody can without having seen spring.
South Carolina is a team. Well, playing at South Carolina is always hard. The thing that I've always admired about them, though, is their ability to have their in-state talent. And they have a lot of good talent right now. The way I see this game shaking out is the fact that Tennessee has a little bit more experience up front. And just the command of the game, the way Coach Pruitt has shown that he can have his guys buy into winning the game. It doesn't matter how it gets done. But, again, the reason it's super intimidating to play South Carolina at South Carolina is that place has a chaos in the stands, and we won't see that this year. I'm a firm believer that this will be a simple game for Tennessee for sure, because it's not much considering the COVID cases that they've had as far as the tracking that they've been able to do with guys getting cases or just being around people with cases. So I think it just has to be simple. And when you look at that, that's going to be something that's to Tennessee's advantage, especially, you know, with the experience that they have coming back.
Ramon, let's talk about you for a second. You played at Tennessee in the final days or years of the Fulmer regime, and then the Steelers. You saw a lot of the NFL. Now you're doing. Can't believe anybody would go into this business after your career, but you're in radio now. Let's go back to Tennessee for a second, because you know the return of Coach Fulmer, I think everyone agrees, was the key in saving that program after a disastrous couple of years of leadership. What was it like playing for him, especially being a lineman?
It was awesome playing for Coach Fulmer, and the main reason is because he expected a lot out of him. And if you were able to deliver that and not fall to pressure of being a guy that say, hey, stuff is supposed to be handed to me, then you're going to be fine. That's one thing I appreciate about him and his staff that he had there at UT, and I see a whole lot of the similarities between Coach Pruitt and Coach Fulmer in the sense that they know how to recruit right. They know how to get the most out of the guys. Seeing Coach Fulmer back at UT gives a sense of stability, and that's what we have lacked from the days of, you know, what happened with Lane and Coach Dooley and also with Coach Buzz Jones is there wasn't a lot of tradition, there wasn't a lot of stability. You didn't know what direction the team was going to go in, and I think right now Coach Pruitt has been very firm in how he wants to build a program and how he wants his guys to act. It's not, you know, if somebody's out of line, he's not afraid to make sure that everybody on the team holds them accountable. And that's something that a lot of coaches aren't willing to do. And we haven't seen much of that at UT for a while. I enjoyed my time under Coach Fulmer. It wasn't just about your output on the field. You know, he and his coaching staff was worried about guys being better young men, better civilians for life after football, because as we all know, the likelihood of making it to the next level is very low. There's going to be a lot more guys that end their football career and have to find a career to besides sports. And that's one thing I always felt like that, you know, the staff that Coach Fulmer had there did for the guys. And you see a lot of that. I was up there about 3 weeks ago, and just to see Coach Pruitt's engagement with those guys, we were all masked up, of course, but you see his engagement with those guys and how to respond to him and how he's he makes himself human to where he's not above anybody. That's something that you want. He cares about them as young men, and I'm looking forward to seeing this turnaround be something very, very special.
Ramon, you're on 104.5 The Zone in Nashville, which is just a powerhouse station in the Music City. I'm interested what it's like, you know, having been through all that you've seen as a college player and with the Steelers and now talking sports. Nashville's a great sports town, obviously, with the Predators, the Titans, Tennessee to the east. What's it been like for you?
It's been fun. I'll say this. It doesn't feel like working. It doesn't. I know I don't feel the effects of getting up, having to hit a human body every single day. So It's been an enjoyment, man. My my partner Jason Martin and the producer Jonathan Schaefer have been really good at bringing me in, and it's really been a team there. And I know a lot of people may question, well, you played for the Steelers, we'll talk about the Titans. I'm very conscious of that, and being from the state of Tennessee, I've always kind of followed the Titans, and we also cover UT football, of course. So this is something that's been enjoyable for me. I've had a show in Pittsburgh for the last 7 years that I've done there, so it's not new. It's just new as far as having an everyday schedule of talking about it. But I truly enjoy it, and I'm a firm believer that if you have the right thing to say, athletes should be able to voice their opinions appropriately, because in the business, you know, especially football, nobody really sees and hears us. They just see the number and the face mask or the helmet. So it's kind of cool being able to jump into this. As you said, it might sound crazy, but I actually enjoy being able to sit and talk sports with guys and give understanding more than anything, to give you stats and the runoff, you know, the analytics of the game. I want to be able to bring my my experiences to a situation if there's a problem, or to say how we did it in situation, or how I've seen other coaches handle their team. So that's what I most enjoy about it.
Ramon, before you go, I want to ask you about Vanderbilt, because I don't know. I mean, I'm not there. You are. But I saw more players have opted out today, aren't going to be playing. Yeah. I mean, I just have to tell me if I'm seeing this from too far away, but I just have this terrible feeling about this football team this year.
Yeah, it's kind of tough, because you don't want to blame a kid for opting out. And when you have injuries, it's 100% injury rate when you're dealing with the sport of football. Like, it's going to happen. I just feel bad for Coach Mason, because he's the guy that's trying to really turn that program around and be a team that competes. And there's a lot that comes your way when you're dealing with a pandemic and you have guys get injured, man. I think the thing we forget when we're being competitors in the SEC is that, you know, those guys went to school for the same reason that you did, with the opportunity to get a really good education and also possibly play at the next level. And to have that kind of stripped away because of just life happening is something that you can't control. But even though I'm not the greatest fan of Vanderbilt, I appreciate what Coach Mason is doing and trying to hold together there in Vanderbilt. I mean, it's right here in Middle Tennessee. They have a following that's very strong, and you just hope at some point they're able to, you know, hold up their end of being in the SEC.
Ramon Foster has given hope for all Vol fans with his predictions. Ramon, you've been fantastic. I hope you'll come back. All the best, and really a pleasure to have you on.
No problem. I appreciate it, too. As I said, I'm a fan of yours, man, and I'm always tuned in. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you very much. Ramon Foster from Nashville. Busy show today with Sam Pittman, Danny Sheridan lighting everybody up, and now Ramon, many more guests to come. We'll get into Auburn football in a few minutes. More of your phone calls at 855-242.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Well, we heard earlier in the week that Notre Dame was postponing its game against Wake Forest. It could be more serious than we originally thought. USF, who was in South Bend last week, is now postponing its game against FAU because of contact tracing. So this may be the first time we have seen where a football game created a possible outbreak. We don't have all the facts, obviously, but it's pretty significant that that has happened. I mean, this was many people's worst fear. We have been led to believe that the football field was relatively safe. May still be, but as a precaution, USF is not playing this weekend. Let's get back to the calls. And a man who has continued to emerge as the most talked about caller on this program. We had Jim calling in the other night. Other callers have talked about it. The only problem with this guy is he has a good job. He runs a business, so we can't get him on the show very often. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing good, Paul. What's up?
Well, we are just hanging out here waiting for you to call.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. Hey, speaking of waiting, that was a terrific segment, as always, from Danny Sheridan. And I hope he brought the Arkansas fans down to earth with his realization they might get one win this year, not even sniff undefeated. I thought that was pretty funny, don't you?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've had Danny on many times over the history of the show. I thought that from a pure gambling standpoint was really the most interesting. I mean, he laid it out, and the difficulty of calling games this year is paramount.
Right, and I have to like Danny giving the Buckeyes some love, but he shocked me as a fan about the two losses. I think that's going to reverberate around the country. I was really surprised. If Danny nails that, he proves how smart he is.
I thought of all the things that he said. I've already had some friends texting me, go like, are you sure about that? Danny said he thought there was a chance that, I don't know if he said everyone or at least a couple of teams in the playoffs could have two losses, which is, I mean, we've never had anything quite like that before.
Right.
Not even close.
Hey, Paul, we got a month up here to wait till we get some college football in the Big Ten. So I tell you what, I'm dialed in like none other in the SEC getting started. And I'm really disappointed in all your hard call, smack talkers from over the years, like Jerome, Legend, Charles from Real Town, K-Dub, Larry. I mean, it's kickoff week for football season, and they're usually in by now running their gums talking about how their teams are going to be undefeated. Where are the SEC hardcore calls?
Well, Jeff, if we could talk, just the two of us, which
I'm listening.
The Bama boys just don't have the same swagger as they used to. Remember when
they don't?
I'm buying in on the Saban hype, but you're right. And by the way, I hate to be that SEC guy because, I mean, even though I'm accused of it more than anyone, I am tired and fatigued of SEC boasting. But man, I mean, the first 3 weeks of the college football season has been a snoozer, Jeff.
Yes, it has. I've hardly even watched any of it. So I'm hoping we at least get some good ball games this week. And, a lot of these callers, you're right. There's no swagger and there's no charisma. And speaking of charisma, Paul, you brought it up at the beginning of when you welcomed me in. I was in awe with page 54, Jim from Tuscaloosa had to say about me the other night. I just barely caught that. I was impressed with that. What do you think of that, Paul?
Yeah, now, Jim Jim pretty much said you're the best caller on the show, maybe the best of all time, other than him, of course.
Exactly. And I tell you what, I heard you guys talking about the price tag of Jim's value to the show. I mean, what would you say the value is today of a franchise quarterback when they get tagged a franchise player, Paul?
Oh, it's incalculable when you think about what the
I did a little research. It's worth about $25 million this year, And I think that's what we got to stop. To me, Jim is the franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because, you know, I'm one, you know me, Jeff. I'm always internalizing this show, and I'm thinking, what, you know, where do we need? And you know, the callers, and part of the problem with this program is a good problem. It's success. But, you know, I used to call them the Mercury 7. For those who weren't alive, those were the original people that went into space, John Glenn from your
right.
state. I mean, those were the famous pioneers. And, you know, this show has evolved so many times that, I mean, I look down and don't recognize half the callers anymore.
Right. But, I mean, you've got to slap the franchise tag on Jim from Tuscaloosa. That's how much value he's brought to this show.
Here's the problem, Jeff. I asked him the other day, what do you think his worth? I said, what do you think your worth to the show is? And he said, pretty much in the hundreds of millions.
Right.
And, I mean, I just don't have that kind of money lying around here.
Well, I told you, a franchise tag, you can spread it out over years. I mean, you could put a salary cap and all that. But I tell you what, he is like the franchise quarterback because the quarterback gets as much people, you know, cutting on him as the head coach and the quarterback. You know that. Everybody loves the backup quarterback, Paul. And that's kind of the way. I mean, people either love or hate Jim, but they always are talking about him. That's like a franchise quarterback to me. So I think you got to realize that and slap that franchise tag on him and pay him up. By the way, I look at it, over the long haul, he's brought to the show. But, you know, that's just the way I see it.
I mean, Jeff, I am. People misunderstand this. I mean, I realize my name is on the show. I'm just an employee. I'm no different than anybody else at ESPN. I punched.
I mean, why do you try to run him off sometimes?
Well, have you heard every call that he's made to this show?
I mean, a lot of them the last 10 years. Yeah, about
okay.
every one. I try to listen as much as I can.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe I should just sit here and take the abuse better than I do. I think I feel like I'm getting a lashing in the middle of the street in some third world country every time he calls in.
I mean, that's part of being the big time host sometimes, Paul. You got to be the punching bag. You know how it is. I mean, that's what makes you good. You deliver, but you can also.
Well, I tell you what, Jeff. I think I've gotten better through COVID. I'm more understanding. I'm more heavily medicated than at any point in my career. So, I just think if I see Jim on the board, I'll pop a pill, calm down, and just let him say whatever he wants.
Hey, I know I've asked you a little bit here recently because you know I've been the one propping up the economy more than anybody. Have you tried to buy a refrigerator recently?
In fact, I think we bought a ice maker a couple of months ago.
You can't find a good refrigerator or dryer right now. I mean, the demand for these products.
No, you're right. There's another thing that we're trying to replace, and it's taken about 3 months. I totally agree with you.
I mean, you got to admit, I was trying to tell people that between construction and home building, I mean, the home construction business right now is off the
chart. I wish I had listened, Jeff. I'd be rich instead of sitting here every day.
I know, you were living in paranoid. You wouldn't even go out in your car and look at construction sites.
No. Well, I learned my lesson. Now I'm jet setting around the country every day.
All right, I'm glad. Hey, are you going to any ball games this year or not?
I do what they tell me to do.
I know, but if will you go as a fan? Will your wife let you go to a ball game?
Oh, I would go as a fan. I'm just not sure I'll be going as a correspondent.
All right. Well, I'm taking that as if we play and have some fans up here in Columbus. I'll see you up here then. That's why I'm taking it.
Well, I like that. I made a few friends in Columbus and I include you in that group, and we will have a party. Hey, thanks, Jeff. Appreciate the call. We are heading to a break. A lot more to do on the program, and we hope you will stick around.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
And we're back here, final 90 minutes on a Wednesday afternoon. What about the Auburn Tigers playing in one of the most intriguing games of week one of the SEC calendar, hosting the Kentucky Wildcats? Always great to have Justin Ferguson with us to talk about that. Justin, first of all, great to have you back. I hope the summer, I don't know if anybody's had a good one, but I hope yours has been okay. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Appreciate you having me on again.
Let's talk about this Auburn team. I know it's been kind of a rocky camp with COVID, like so many others. We've heard Malzahn talk about it a lot, but what's the shape of this team health-wise as it gets ready for Kentucky Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, Auburn had a couple of bouts during fall camp of, you know, missing guys due to COVID-19 and the protocols and the contact tracing and all that stuff. They're supposed to have everybody back at practice on Tuesday afternoon. And from then, everything I've heard, that they were able to get all those guys back from quarantine, and they're going to be close to 100% on Saturday for Kentucky. They are missing two reserve players, two younger defensive players. They're going to be out for a while due to some injuries. But this is a team that had to battle through a lot of absences, including some of the starters that made the depth chart kind of take a little while to get going, especially on that new-look offensive line that still needs to sort out its left tackle spot. But in terms of availability, Auburn should be on track to have close to everybody. You know, it'll all change, I guess, according to what these last couple of rounds of testing are before the game. But as of yesterday, they were on track to have everybody back.
Justin, I know everybody is extremely excited about Bo Nix. There's a new coordinator in Chad Morris. So give us a preview of what this offense is going to look like in 2020.
Yeah, I think this is going to be an offense that wants to cater to Bo Nix's strengths. And last season, he did a lot of things, you know, well in terms of leading Auburn to 9 wins and, you know, doing some of the intangible stuff you really want a young quarterback to do. But he struggled with accuracy. His numbers were below average for FBS starting quarterbacks. But a couple of things he did really, really well that I think works with him in the Morris offense is his threat to run the ball. He was a pretty effective runner last year when he got to tuck it. You look at the use of like RPOs and stuff in the past with Chad Morris's offense. That really, it seems to be a good match. And the other thing is he was really good at some of the quick throws. You know, he struggled more throwing the ball downfield, and he'll have to get better at that. But you look at Morris's offense, there's a lot more of the quick passes than necessarily the screens or downfield shots that we saw be the majority of the passing game for Auburn the last few seasons under Gus Malzahn. So I think it really fits to Bo Nix's strengths. They're trying to shape this offense around what he's good at. And considering the amount of talent Auburn's got at wide receiver coming back this year, it's a good sign, I think, to have a guy like Morris who has a good track record pretty much everywhere but Arkansas, obviously, with inheriting quarterbacks. And on top of that, they've got guys like Anthony Schwartz and Seth Williams and Eli Stove that are going to be ready and already have that good rapport with Nix that they built last season.
I know on message boards and in bars in and around Auburn, there's always been this conversation about Gus Malzahn handing the keys to someone else and then ripping them back. I know he's talked about it, his relationship with Morris, but what do you think is the makeup of that relationship? And we're only guessing now, but how do you think it will work?
Yeah, it's a great question because I know there's been a lot of Auburn fans who've asked me about that recently. I think the difference here was that They had that long-standing relationship that goes back to their high school days. And really for the first time in his college coaching career, Gus Malzahn has an offensive coordinator that you can consider, you know, one of his equals, one of, you know, someone who is up there with him. I know Malzahn's had more success as a head coach than Morris has, but you look at what Morris did at Clemson, you look at, you know, what he did to help turn around the things at SMU. You know, he's put up some really good numbers at the college level, his offenses have. And these two guys, you know, their offenses share the same DNA. Malzahn gave Morris the offense, you know, back when they were high school coaches. Morris has just done more with it, whereas Malzahn has done more in terms of the running game. Morris has done more of it through the air, and that's where the mesh has to come in. You know, some of the concepts and some of the different ways they use the passing game, that's the kind of thing that Auburn needs to do more of. We know that when a Gus Malzahn offense works, it really, really works. But you look at this day and age in college football, you got to win by throwing the ball. You got to win big by making big plays for the air, and Auburn just hasn't had that the last couple seasons, and that's why Morris is in. We'll see how that relationship goes in terms of play calling, but I think just from the fact that these guys know each other and that they've walked similar paths, this is the first time Malzahn has had a guy who can really be like an equal to him, you know, in terms of offensive coaching on his staff. And, you know, I think that's going to make for, I think, a smoother transition than maybe bringing in somebody from outside his circle, maybe another younger guy to come in and call the plays for him this year.
I know it's a relief for Gus Malzahn not to have to worry about the defensive side of the ball. I'm not sure he's even allowed over there with Kevin Steele. But what does the Auburn defense look like? Because last year at times it looked really good, and then it maybe fell asleep for a minute.
Yeah, this Auburn defense is going to be fascinating this year because, you know, you lose two of your best players you've ever had up front and Derrick Brown and Marlon Davidson, but you got a ton of depth on that defensive front, and that's where they're going to want to really kind of win the game and control the trenches. They've got a deep defensive line that's going to rotate a lot. They had 12 different guys on that depth chart yesterday. Some younger guys were able to jump up and win starting jobs, Colby Wooden being the one to watch there. A lot of people thought he was going to be a backup defensive end. He's going to be a defensive tackle starter, kind of that Brown replacement. So it'll be interesting to see kind of that competition there. And then linebacker play, I mean, they could argue that they have the best linebacker group in the SEC coming back this year because their top three guys are all back. K.J. Britt was all SEC last year. Owen Poppo is a former five-star, had a really good first year. And Jacoby McClain made some really big highlight reel plays towards the end. The secondary, this is just a testament to the way Steele has developed talent. These are four new starters back there, but they're all four guys, or three of them at least, have been able to play a lot, you know, under Steele as reserve just because of the way they rotate and set it. And we talk about all the things that Auburn wants to get to on the offensive side of the ball, that consistency. They've had it with Kevin Steele on the defensive end. So it's one of those things where there's going to be some newness to kind of feel out early. But this is a group that's really talented. It's been built on a lot of good recruiting and rotation. And I think it's going to be another great Auburn defense. It might just take a little bit while longer for them to hit that top gear because they're going to have to break in some new stars, and it's hard to replace a dude like Derrick Brown.
Yeah, no doubt. Justin, Danny Sheeran was with us earlier. He's, you know, he's an odds maker. He thought three or four losses sounded realistic. That sounds okay. But that Malzahn has been there before, but you know, with a 10-game season, it doesn't sound nearly as good. What's the expectation for this team? I know they were picked to finish what, fourth in the SEC, so, or maybe lower, I can't remember. But you know, the schedule is pretty stiff, especially that second week of the season.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the schedule this year, Auburn's probably going to be favored in, you know, seven or eight of their games this season. And then the two big ones, of course, Georgia and Alabama, both on the road. Those are really, really tough matchups in a year, and that's just kind of even year Auburn. You have to deal with that. But the schedule is rough. And I think one of the things for Auburn to kind of look at, if you look at SP Plus, they have them around six and a half around the expected wins. I think, you know, what Sheridan said earlier makes sense. I think 7-3 is kind of where I would probably peg it. But the thing about Auburn this year is that, you know, everything's going to have to be taken in the right context because, you know, it is such a weird year. It is such a weird schedule. The main thing for Auburn is this offense, what you were talking about earlier, they are so young. There's only one senior starter on that group, you know, and you could realistically bring everybody back in 2021 with Bo Nix's third year. But the problem there is that, you can't just play for next year. You've got to show marked improvement on the offensive side of the ball this year. So if Auburn can win 7-8 games and look better on that offensive end, they've got a lot set in place when the schedule gets a little bit easier in 2021 because you don't have to play Georgia and Alabama both on the road. That's a good thing. So you don't want to say this is a stepping stone year because you always want Auburn to be, Auburn fans always want Auburn to be in the hunt. And they got the potential to do that. It's just this is going to be a really tough year, I think, in terms of the schedule, and especially with that offensive line having to break in. I think patience is going to have to be key. So it's a really weird spot, I guess, for Malzahn to be in. They've got to get better, especially on the offensive end, but there's also still those same high expectations that you get at Auburn year in and year out.
Justin Ferguson with the Auburn Observer. Always good to catch up. Justin, thanks for the report. Really enjoyed it. Come back soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much,
Paul. You got it. That was really good. And Auburn is one of those teams that they could go either way. You can't say that about everyone, but maybe quite a few this year in the SEC. We'll take a break. We are knocking down the door of the final hour here in a few minutes. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hey, we welcome you back. Great conversation there with Justin. Let's get to some calls, and Mims is up next. Hey, Mims.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
I am well. Thank you.
Paul, I just wanted to get your thoughts on Auburn this season, see if they got a real shot at the SEC championship and what Bo Nix looks like in his sophomore season.
Well, I think the Bo Nix question is really self-explanatory. I think he's going to be one of the better SEC quarterbacks. I'm still struggling to get them to Atlanta, and I think Justin pretty eloquently pointed out why the schedule. You could say that a lot about a lot of schools. I do not like the idea of them going on the road to Georgia and Alabama. So, and then, can they survive the trickier games like Kentucky at South Carolina, at Ole Miss, at Mississippi State, and Tennessee at home, along with LSU? I just think there are too many landmines on that schedule for them to get through there with only one or two losses. Obviously, Mims did not like that response. Anyway, just being honest. Judge Chris is up next. Hey, Judge, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. I'm glad to see Jeff back. I'm glad his Jeff from Ohio State. It looks like his cousin Owen is fully recovered, 0-4. But good to have Jeff back.
It was. He's a colorful caller.
Yeah, he is. Hey, I was talking to my friend Aaron Frazier at George Mason University. He's at the Antonin Scalia School of Law.
Oh, wow.
He's a big Ohio State fan. How big is Ohio State in the Big Ten being back going to affect the four teams in the playoff?
Significantly, Judge, because I think if the Big Ten had not come back, either the ACC or the SEC had a reasonable chance of getting two schools in. I don't think they do anymore.
I think that's – you and I are thinking the same way there. I thought that Notre Dame and Clemson might split.
Yeah, exactly.
Lose one, win one, and then add in Alabama, and then where else do you go? So, that's big. What do you think the chances are of having either a 6 or 18 playoff this year?
I don't think there's any chance of it this year, and I was really hoping they would consider that. I remember talking to Bill Hancock, the director, many months ago, back in March or April, and they would not hear it. I thought this was the year to do it, to create more, not only more excitement for the game, but more money, considering how much has been lost.
Paul, they should listen to you. They should listen to people smarter than them. You could do an 18 playoff and have the first game, 1-4, host the home game.
I totally agree with you, Chris.
Then you're down to 4-2.
Chris, I hate to run. We are bumping into the break, but thank you. Great call. We have another hour to go. We're heading down to Baton Rouge in this hour. Been a big and busy show. We hope you'll stick around for the final hour.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.